Ashley Marie Preston, media personality and civil rights activist here. COVID-19 has brought stress and anxiety to so many, and it's okay to ask for help. COVID has been a challenging time for me because I've always grappled with mental health challenges. It took me a while to seek help because as a civil rights activist, I typically am the help. And we often forget to care for the people who care for the people. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 support or call the warm line at 1-833-317-HOPE.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. This is Mike Phillips filling in for Stu once again on a Friday. It's a beautiful Friday. I'm assuming that the LA freeway is clogged. Homelessness runs rampant. And a good selection of the United States and Canada have graphene running through their veins. That's right. This is Mike Phillips coming at you live from the 51st. Above the 49th parallel. I'm about 6 hours north of Montana, just for a frame of reference for those of you Americans who can still read a map. And the listeners to this show are definitely the exception to the ones who can't. We've got lots to get to today. We're going to be talking about the, well, look, all of you anti-fascists out there that are bashing the fash, pulling down Confederate statues. We're just going to launch right into it. 1 year after a Confederate statue hit Chris Green in Portsmouth in the head, he fights his way back from a traumatic brain injury. There was an old Dead Kennedy song about looting and rioting, and it went, "Tonight it's a blast, tomorrow you're homeless. Tonight it's a blast, tomorrow you're homeless." See, Jello Biafra knew that there was going to be consequences for acting like that. It is just a fact, okay? And after you get injured or, you know, like in Kenosha, Wisconsin, shot for acting like an idiot, your buddies aren't going to be there. Your family is going to be the one to suffer. Are your Antifa and BLM friends going to come over and change your diaper after a Confederate statue falls on your head? Huh? Boy, you sure showed them. And I take no pleasure in this. I'm not gloating if any of the family of Chris Green is listening to the Stu Peters show right now. No, I'm not gloating at all. This is not cool. There are real-life consequences for acting like this. Let's go to the actual news report on the event.
Today marks 1 year since a protest at a Confederate monument in Portsmouth turned violent. On that day, Chris Green suffered a severe head injury and ended up in a coma. 1 year later, his road to recovery is still a battle.
Adriana D'Alba gives us an update on his journey.
How are you, bud?
For the first time, we're seeing Chris Green up and walking. His wife sharing these videos of his recovery journey after he suffered a traumatic brain injury.
Through rehab and continued rehab, my husband is slowly starting to gain back his independence.
A year has passed since the protest at a Confederate statue in Portsmouth. The statue fell on Chris's head, giving him a traumatic brain injury, sending him into a coma, leaving him disabled. His wife, Tinia Brisbane Green, says despite still going to therapy, he hasn't been the same since the accident.
Okay. Right now, he has a mind of a 13-year-old. The impact of the accident affected was his communication.
He's blind in one eye and lost his hearing in one ear. But Chris is learning how to eat and walk again. The caring dad they remember is still here.
Oh. Look!
The perfume, remember?
His speech slowly coming back. Memory loss is one of his biggest challenges. Chris can't remember what his marriage was like before the accident. The memories of his kids growing up, gone.
Gone.
He's still here, but his wife says the old Chris she and their two young boys remember may never come back.
This is one of the toughest things that I ever, ever had to do in my life, and never would I imagine that, you know, we will be going through this.
They take it one day at a time, holding on to small moments of progress.
Hey, get it, boy.
And those happy moments when the fun-loving Chris shines bright.
Get it, Chris. Hey.
Adrian.
There you have it. So Chris is now recovering. His family has a major burden to bear. And I'll tell you what, he was out there proving a point, pulling down a statue, all for one and one for all. Isn't that right? Huh? But when it comes to the final showdown, it's your family that gets hurt and has to look after you, has to change your diaper. Where are all of his BLM friends? Well, they're off fighting the next battle. You don't get away with anything, okay? That man could have been at home with his family. Was it worth it, Chris? He probably couldn't answer that question now, and it's been a year later. Hey, do you remember when those riots were happening in Portland a couple years ago? Rufio Panman, big dude, had a guy with a collapsible police baton attack him. That guy thought that he was in the right. He was stopping fascism. He was going to bash the fash. He was going to stop Nazi Americans. Well, he ran into somebody tougher than him that could actually fight. And now he's got brain damage too. And guess what? All of your bash the fash chic friends, they don't care about you. They don't give a damn. They could care less that your family has to look after you now. And you got to wear a hockey helmet everywhere you go. It's a disgusting, horrible situation. And I bet you they got him vaccinated. So now he's got his brain bashed in, and he's probably got this weird graphene going through his veins. And that same government, that's the other thing, okay? That's the other thing. Who cares if you have government-provided health care? If your brain got bashed in by a Confederate statue, you're still half vegetable. I'll tell you what. We started off a little bit serious, but you've heard of Dear Abby? Well, FlipCityMag.com sponsored the next segment here on the Stu Peters Show with Mike Phillip. Ask anti-fascist timely advice for today's intersectional progressive. Hey, anti-fascist, what do you got for us, eh? Let's hear it. Hey, where are you, anti-fascist? Go, come on, bring it up.
Dear anti-fascist, I am a college student at a progressive state university. My issue is this. After my critical race theory course, and before my class in gender studies, I like to spend my lunch hour at a local free trade, ethically sourced coffee shop. Two Joes, one cup. Is, or rather was, I should say, the only place they have managed not only to correctly gender me, but could also lovingly shape the pronoun of my specific sexuality right into the froth and atop my soy latte. However, I was sad to learn that Two Joes was looted and burned out as the excitement of the Antifa BLM roadshow came through my town. I understand and accept that sacrifices must be made, but I'm gonna bust out the staples on my bottom gender surgery If I misgendered this one more time while being served by some uneducated cisgender, have you got any recommendations before I go out to start my very own protest over this? This is Ivan Fagan.
Dear Ivan, depending on the color of your skin, this may just be an issue of you having to check your privilege. Look in the mirror and ask yourself if this is the case. As long as your pigment level is in check, then I would suggest infiltrating the remaining coffee shops around town. Carefully monitor the staff at every shop. Are they lacking representation of the 108 recognized gender on crew? If so, it is your duty and obligation to cause an embarrassing scene and make everyone in the shop as uncomfortable as possible. Honestly, I'm embarrassed for you that I even have to explain this, and I frankly must question your loyalty to the cause. I can only hope that reading my response will help you to re-educate you before it has to be done by force.
Whoa! Oh, that's gotta hurt. Poor Ivan Fagan. But I tell you what, we've got another calling coming in for anti-fascist.
Dear anti-fascist, as the newly elected mascot of my local public school, the most difficult challenge I face is making sure that our school is represented by an inclusive and diverse class of woke students. After only a short while here, though, I've learned that most of the students are content to be identified as simply one of the two boring, cisgendered. And some have even had the nerve to embrace the emotionally triggering... I'm sorry, Auntie, I had another call coming in. That was my uncle. One of the two boring cisgenders. And some of them have even had the nerve to embrace the emotionally triggering title Super Straight, if you can imagine that. So, as you can clearly see, I've really walked into a hornet's nest, and I'm worried about reserving a safe space for the 10%, and I firmly believe that it is the burden of the other 90% to conform to the evolving norms of our time. So my question is this. From one sculptor of society to another, how can I force the minds of this made-up and coming generation to reimagine their sexuality? I'm your loyal fan, TP.
Dear TP, a subterfuge may be necessary to steer the opinions of the masses. Remember, without destruction, there can be no building back better. Swiftly locate any unfavorable grades or competitive losses being wielded as a weapon against any of the vulnerable and brave students who currently identify as one of the more interesting genders emerging. React to this weaponization of stats immediately with the most disruptive demonstration possible. If you find an organic microaggression is not occurring fast enough, you may want to consider creating your own. Any means necessary for the greater good are justified. A little spray paint on a locker or a week or two of fires and eggings may be all it takes to sway the atmosphere of your school. I'm sure the fruits of your labor will be a rewarding and an inspiration to us all. Please write again and update me on your progress. Your faithful educator, anti-fascist.
Oh, yeah, thanks, anti-fascist. That's great stuff.
And now it's time for Flip City News on the Stu Peters Show. I'm Mike Phillip. Today in the nation, Joe Biden declares himself a national disaster. Yesterday, President Biden declared that a major disaster existed in his administration and ordered federal assistance to supplement local recovery efforts in areas affected by his severe incompetence beginning on May 31st, 2021. And continuing assistance may include grants and other programs to help individuals and business owners recover from the effects of the presidential disaster. Additional designations may be made at a later date if requested and warranted by the results of further damage assessments. The Department of Justice prioritizes smirk crimes. Biden's Department of Justice's new smirk crime division will pursue cases of potentially criminal smirking towards marginalized communities and minorities. Federal charges are being considered in the case of a Tennessee man who was taped smirking at a boy in a prom dress. Cautioning against the move was comedian Bill Maher, who said, and we quote, "Whoa, we don't want to start something here we're going to regret." And in health, the WHO and NIH recommend straitjackets. Despite the widespread relaxation of masking requirements, the World Health Organization and National Institute of Health have issued a joint statement recommending the use of straitjackets for people who have had the bad habit of pulling their mask down or aside to speak. Said a NIH spokesperson, "We know it can be tempting to pull down your mask to speak or breathe. This way you can't." Health pros introduce new vaccine incentive. Clowns! Health professionals rolled out a new program to incentivize vaccination for children's ages 3 to 10 by having shots administered by clowns. Doctors and nurses are hopeful that the clowns can lure children away from misinformed and vaccine-wary parents long enough to be inoculated. "Hey, everybody loves a clown, so this should go well," said a vaccination program spokesperson. And in gardening, Biden revives Trump's Garden of Heroes. President Biden revoked his prior cancellation of President Trump's executive order for a proposed sculpture garden to celebrate American heroes. Biden also then extended a special invitation to members of Antifa and Black Lives Matter to celebrate the monument's opening. Picnics and games are planned along with a petting zoo. This has been Flip City News, hosted by Mike Phillip on The Stu Peters Show. This concludes Flip City News. Head over to flipcitymag.com. Throw in promo code AMC Radio to get 10% off on a subscription to Flip City Mag, America's last laugh. You heard it first on The Stu Peters Show. Uh-huh. All right, we'll try to get serious now.
America Radio
is where you would normally hear me. So, get this. A liberal judge has ordered unemployment benefits to continue despite massive job shortages. Yeah, that sounds about right. My father lives in Tennessee, and he said that they cannot find enough people to work. Venezuela, anybody? Or even Canada? Liberal judge in Arkansas has ordered the state to resume federal pandemic unemployment benefits just one day after they expired. And yet another glaring example of why there's a huge gap in unemployment claims between red and blue states, despite, you know, Arkansas being a red state. On Wednesday, Pulaski County Circuit Judge Herbert Wright issued a preliminary injunction so the state can resume participation if the government will agree to permit the state to do so. If the appropriate federal authorities reject such a reinstatement, the state will immediately provide proof of such communication with the court, said Wright. Who's wrong? The decision stems from a lawsuit filed last Friday on behalf of five citizens seeking to enjoin the state from ending pandemic-related unemployment programs, which provided an extra $300. That's $300. You too could be like they, getting $300 to live in Arkansas and not work, on top of state unemployment benefits, which average $338 per week. The combined $638 average weekly income is the equivalent of $1,595 per hour for somebody working a 40-hour work week, according to the New York Post, and it comes for the low, low price of a sense of pride. In May, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson announced that the state would end its participation in the unemployment programs on June 26th, which Hutchinson rightly claimed actually interferes with the ability to fill more than 40,000 vacant jobs in the state. There are some 69,000 unemployed Arkansans. 69,000, dude! The plaintiffs in the lawsuit argue that Hutchinson lacked the legal authority to end the state's participation in the program. What? The governor can't end a welfare program? Okay. Which Wright acknowledged was voluntary, but he had serious doubts the government and the director of workforce services were acting within the scope of their duties when they canceled the aid. Would somebody act within their duties, please? Thanks to the ruling, people will now be able to get the benefits to help them pay the rent, keep the lights on, buy methamphetamine, have enough food to eat, and see the doctor while they continue their job search. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're searching for jobs. Sure. Said Kevin DeLieben, Legal Aid of Arkansas, Director of Advocacy. Half of all U.S. states largely run by Republicans have announced plans to end federal unemployment benefits amid massive job shortages. You know what these Arkansas residents could do, it seems to me? They could just move to Chicago. Problemo solved, though. As the New York Post notes, a recent poll by Morning Consult found that more than 1.8 million unemployed Americans have turned down jobs throughout the pandemic due to the generosity of the unemployment benefits. Of the 5,000 surveyed who were actively collecting the benefits, 29% said they turned down job offers, according to the poll. Yeah, yeah. I actually, look, I live in the state of Alberta here in Canada. And funny thing, we were getting these same reports, and I actually talked to somebody out in a town called Edson, right in the Rocky Mountains, right in the beautiful, picturesque Rocky Mountains. Where there used to be a whole lot of work, and he was getting people that were sending him resumes when he needed people for a construction job. I know this is anecdotal, but Mike Phillip would never lie to you. He said that they actually had the audacity to tell him that they were sending him a resume because they wanted to stay on benefits. And, hey, brother, could you please just not say anything. And when the benefits run out, you think you'll have a job for me? See, these guys didn't even know better than to do that. But let me take you a step further. Back when there were actually people working, and I'm talking probably about 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago, my brother worked for an alternative fuel company. They were outfitting UPS trucks with these alternative fuel systems for propane. He was getting resumes from people, and this is a while back. Okay, everybody talks about the dumbing down of society. He was getting job resumes where people were actually putting JKLOL on their job resume. They literally didn't know that that was a bad idea. They literally thought that that's how professional job-seeking people actually act. See, this started a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. All this medical malpractice that we're seeing today, I hear prominent conservative commentators saying, you just can't trust your doctor anymore. Okay, you could 50 years ago, you could 20 years ago. You know how many people chemotherapy has killed? Hey, I'll tell you what, the worst thing that can happen to you is not having cancer. It's having a doctor find it. Because your chances of actually being killed by the cancer are probably pretty low. You know what gets you? The chemo. I could go on all day about these different treatments and drugs that kill people, but we've got to go to a commercial break for our sponsors at Mojo 5.0. You're listening to The Stu Peters Show. This is Mike Phillip filling in. We'll be back right after this.
Dr. Peter Glidden, your steadfast advocate for health. Let me break it down for you. Masks are ineffective at stopping the spread of viral particles. Asymptomatic carriers, basically do not exist. The PCR testing was never meant to be a diagnostic test. And everything having to do with SARS coronavirus 2 is based on fraudulent research and bad science. And oh, by the way, the vaccines are not vaccines. Empower yourself with my coronavirus myth-busting information now. You need to know the facts, ma'am, just the facts, and you're not going to find them through the mainstream media. I doubt very much this commercial is going to be allowed to air very much longer. Go to AmericanUckRadio.com, AmericanUckRadio.com, and empower yourself with Dr. Glidden's coronavirus myth-busting information now.
Recently discovered in a small subsection of the Green New Deal, the United States Air Force is moving away from conventional explosive ordnance.
Being considered to replace these terrible weapons are more ecologically friendly weapons, such as cat coolers, to be used like anvils in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Recently declassified audio from deep inside Cheyenne Mountain.
Genadil, come quick. The Chinese have taken over the island beachhead. What should we do?
Release the cat coolers!
The first cat cooler dropped, activated a volcano on impact. The cooler still has ice in it and was used as a life raft by 26 island refugees.
China has signaled their unconditional surrender, and it is anticipated that the cat cooler will never again be used in such a destructive way.
What? China surrendered, G.I. Joe! No more drop a cat cooler!
No coolers were harmed in the making of this ad, but the island is a total loss. Cat Coolers does not recommend dropping coolers from planes, but the video is really cool, and it's still illegal to smuggle
cat coolers. Catcoolers.com.
G'day, mates. Tech Roo here on location in Australia in search of a rare and elusive wild hare. Most think you would find him when the sun don't shine, but we will find him right here in this primitive Aboriginal outback. I would never consider an excursion like this without my Patriot Supply survivor gear in my pouch. No, not that pouch. I don't have a pouch. In my backpack. Besides the four-week emergency food supply kit that's back at home from preparewithmojo50.com, I've got an emergency blanket, my one-size-fits-all poncho, my snake bite kit, and my Alexa Pure Survival Spring Straw. Crikey, there's a wild hare now. Ain't he a beaut?
What's up, Dad?
Find some great deals at preparewithmojo50.com.
December 16th, 1773. And now, what really happened at the Boston Tea Party?
What are they doing?
They're throwing all the king's tea and coffee into the harbor to protest taxation without representation.
Do you think we should?
What's up, guys? It's Sophia Carson here. COVID-19 has brought stress and anxiety, and it's okay to ask for help. So visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 support or call the warm line at 1-833-317-HOPE.
Stop them? I really like my car.
Come on, it's not American Pride Roasters.
Yeah. That would be a trebuchet mockery.
American Pride Roasters, the choice coffee of real American patriots for over 250 years.
That's right. Get yours today at AmericanPrideRoasters.com. That's AmericanPrideRoasters.com.
And cut.
I don't think APR has been around quite that long, guys.
Oh, well, but what we do know for sure is that no APR coffee was thrown into the Boston Harbor in 1773.
So therefore, using transitive properties, since they didn't throw any in the harbor, clearly they liked it best.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Instant tech support, no problem. Just type in your browser WBN324.com and hit the instant support icon. We cover everything from advice, talkthroughs, privacy concerns, security and safety concerns. Shouldn't I concerns, you name it, we cover it. with worldwide coverage and a one-off PayPal payment. We are all yours, and it's instant service when you need it. Just type in WBN324.com and let's fix it.
Mike Phillip back filling in for Stu Peters on the Stu Peters Show on Mojo 5-0. Don Lemon. That's all I got to say. Don Lemon. Don, smell my finger lemon. Oh, yeah, and Chris Cuomo. What a couple of guys, huh? Yeah. I stumbled across a story here getting ready for the show today. And, okay, I'm going to play a headline. All right, I'm going to read you a headline here. And then I'm going to play you a clip of Don Smell My Finger Lemon and Chris Cuomo. Oopsie daisy. By the way, this is from a Dan Salazar over at Infowars. Oops. The FDA slipped on a banana peel and accidentally shows list of COVID vaccine side effects, including, but not limited to, myocarditis, autoimmune disease, and death. Death! That's right. That's right. But before we get into that, let's listen to Don Smell My Finger Lemon and Chris the Wise Guy Cuomo.
You have to have leaders speaking the truth. You have to have leaders.
The data will help.
Be more. Yeah, of course. I said that is true. But also, I mean, in addition to, you've got to have people start speaking the truth. You can't have them speaking out of both sides of their mouth saying, yeah, well, I trust the science and I'm doing this. I heard you had Jerome Adams on and he's saying, talking about some right wing conservative propaganda hosts who are saying, oh, yeah, no one really said get vaccine. They said, I believe in the science and it's up to you to get it. We can't have mealy mouthed people like that. You have to be more direct, a more concerted effort to say get vaccinated, because you're not just killing yourself. You're going to kill other people.
Yeah, there's no better advertisement for getting vaccinated than having it come from Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon, who, by the way, the only people that are watching or listening are guys like me that are grabbing sound bites of them in order to point out how dumb they are, or people that are forced to sit in an airport terminal or a dentist chair where it's on and they have no choice. What do they got, like 15 viewers nationwide? I bet you this show has got, I bet you the Stu Peters Show has got probably, way more. What are they, Stu's like number seven in North America right now. I tell you what, here today, let's push it to, how's about five? How about three? Let's do that. Go on, you very intelligent news dudes.
That's what you have to start telling people. You got to start telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business.
You can't go to CNN if you don't,
get vaccinated, you can't come to work. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this gym. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this, get onto this airplane. It has nothing to do with freedom.
Whoa, wait a second. That was true. It has nothing to do with freedom. If you start corralling people into boxcars, it has nothing to do with freedom. That was the most honest statement on a CNN broadcast, well, ever. Well, since the Gulf War.
Nothing to do with liberty. You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy. You don't have that. You have to drive the speed limit. You have to obey the rules.
No, I don't.
Put some rules in place that will demand that people get vaccinated. Right. You can't just go around and say, well, look, it's my personal life, freedom and my liberty. I want
to go 150
miles an hour if I want to. Sure you can. But you have to suffer the consequences for it. Either you, whether you kill yourself or you get a citation and your driver's license gets taken away. You have to have certain rules in a society if we all are going to continue to live and keep each other alive. You cannot be that selfish and, quite frankly, that ignorant.
Yeah, I think the dynamic in terms of the politics has to flip from this tyranny of the minority, the unvaccinated,
wow.
to the vaccinated. Because the vaccinated is the majority of Americans, Republicans, Democrats, independent, right, left, and reasonable, red and blue states, you know, every face, every place. The majority of us have done this. Who's speaking for them?
Yeah.
What about their freedoms?
There's only one group of people who's out there saying, this is you don't have to do it or whatever. It's your personal. And that's conservatives.
Ah, let me just recap. The tyranny of the minority of people that don't want a medical treatment. That's the tyranny of the minority. Now that we've gotten that out. An FDA slideshow presentation regarding COVID vaccines accidentally displayed a long list of possible adverse reactions to the vaccine, including myocarditis, seizures, and death. Slide showing the FDA's draft list of possible adverse event outcomes appeared briefly during a public meeting by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Product Advisory Committee on October 22, 2020, reviewing the safety and efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines. The slide is headlined FDA Safety Surveillance of COVID-19 Vaccines Draft Working List of Possible Adverse Event Outcomes Subject to Change. I'm going to give you the whole list here. Okay. Now, listen, it's not, I don't think that everybody that takes this thing is going to have one of these many things happen to them. Okay. And it is important to note that the health of a good many Americans was already in the toilet. This will be the coup de grace, is what the French say. The finishing shot. Right. Think about it. Obesity, off the charts. How many people were getting their foot cut off from diabetes before all this came along? And I'd like to say, we were covering those statistics on American Talk Radio and when I was hosting Fire Your MD Now with Dr. Peter Glidden, doctor in Chicago. You know who has the worst health in the nation? The black community. Possible adverse reactions shown in the FDA's working list include, but are not limited to, here we go. You know what? This is such a happy list that I'm going to throw on some bed music here, you know, because, you know, we're having fun. We're having a good time. Let's throw on some bed music.
Get that shit!
Guillain-Barré syndrome. Hey, that's a good one. Acute disseminated encephalomyelitis. Or characterized by a brief but widespread attack of inflammation in the brain and spinal cord that damages myelin, the protective covering of nerve fibers, according to the NIH. So you know what that is? You know when you have a wire and it's got the plastic coating on the outside? Yeah, that's gone. Imagine the possibilities. Transverse myelitis, encephalitis, myelitis, encephalomy. Not to be confused with salami. Convulsions. Ooh. Seizures. Stroke. Narcolepsy. Cataplexy. Anaphylaxis. Acute myocardial infarction.
That's right, bass for your face. Yeah, y'all. That's right. Rock that shit, homie.
Autoimmune disease. Deaths. Thanks, Flavor Flav. Pregnancy and birth outcomes, other acute demyelinating diseases. I couldn't even read that. That's another trick they pull. They give these diseases big fancy names, and usually it just means you're breaking. Non-anaphylactic allergic reactions, thrombocytopenia. That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, I'll have biggie size thrombocytopenia with a side order of fries. Disseminated intravascular coagulation. Venous thromboembolism. I like the sound of that. Arthritis and arthralgia or joint pain. See, arthritis? That just means pain in the joint. Kawasaki disease. What, what? Kawasaki disease for all you Fast and Furious fans out there. Vaccine enhanced dis-ease. Nice. Side effects include. The list also notes multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children as one possible outcome following vaccination. Now, like I said, I don't think that this is going to happen to everybody. But you know what? You can trust Sean Hannity. He knows what's best for you. He's a karate man. The meeting came as the FDA was considering granting emergency use authorization to Pfizer and BioNTech's experimental jab. Let me just say that one more time. Experimental. You, sir, are a guinea pig. Oh, but don't smell my finger knows better. Despite the long list of known possible side effects, the FDA later granted Pfizer emergency use authorization on December 11, 2020, about 2 months after the meeting. During the same meeting, a similar list of adverse reactions also appeared briefly during Deputy Director of the Immunization Safety Office at the CDC, Tom Shimabukuro's presentation at around 2:06:29 in the video. And so, the question stands, why, if the FDA was aware of the litany of possible adverse outcomes, which macabrely include death, did they not inform the public about the risks and instead choose to authorize its approval? That's a funny question right there, because the FDA has been approving things that have damaged people for a very, very long time. And I'd like to ask you another question. Did you vote for anybody in the FDA? I mean, you get a president, right? You can vote for your state rep. You can vote for your congressman. Does the FDA, if they make a decision that kills people, does anybody go to jail? Does the FDA have any kind of incentive whatsoever to do things in your best interest? Where in the Constitution and Bill of Rights does it say thou shalt have an FDA or an SEC or an SEC? I'm getting my alphabet soup agencies mixed up, but you get my point. I had a lawyer, constitutional lawyer, Jonathan Emord on the show. On my show, American Hawk Radio, took the FDA to court 3 times, won every single time. You should read his book, The Authoritarians. This extra constitutional state was set up in the 30s when academia and politicians in the United States of America were going over to learn from Friedrich Hegel, who was also the mentor of Karl Marx. Their goal was to set up an extra constitutional state outside of the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, they did it. This did not start 1.75 years ago. This has been with us for a very long time, and it's the same exact thing in Canada where I live. I'm looking around and thinking, this is quite a predicament that we've got ourselves in here. How do we get around it? The answer is to not use them for anything. Oh, and by the way, if there is a treatment that actually works and it's not drug-related, they'll do their best to bankrupt you, jail you, use lawfare on you, and guess what? They have their own private courts. Not only that, but the Supreme Court overwhelmingly rules in their favor almost all the time. But hey, That's living in America. Are we going to change it?
American Rock Radio.
I actually live in Canada, but the province of Alberta has a large amount of people that are here because the province was settled by Americans heading north to settle this land. Now, meanwhile, in Canada, the Liberals and any given statement in the United States could start out the same way. The Liberals will appoint Canada's first chief internet censor, who will be able to shut down websites, investigate anonymous complaints, and conduct closed-door hearings into legal but hurtful content deemed a threat to domestic institutions. Mike Phillip, in American Rock Radio and AmericanRockRadio.com, has pushed for Alberta to leave Canada. Cut all ties. Become a state. You see why? The very act of saying that Alberta needs to leave Canada puts me squarely in this crosshairs. Do you think I'm going to stop, though? Not going to happen. And I'll tell you what else, that situation with the FDA in the United States of America, it's the same thing here. And guess what they modeled it after? Federal studies were conducted on the Canadian healthcare system. You were told that the Canadian healthcare system was wonderful. Canadians just walk into a hospital and they're automatically taken care of. It's great. They're all holding hands and singing songs. And just the knowledge that they have free healthcare makes it so that they never, ever, ever go to the doctor. I'll tell you, but that's a lie. They go to the doctor for everything before this thing even started. They get a sniffle. They go to the doctor. You know why? Because it's free. It's not free. Anything but. Not even close. It's free at the point of delivery. It's free when you walk into a health clinic and say, "Doctor, I've got a pain here." And he goes in the next room and Googles the symptom and then comes back in and gives you a drug. Which, by the way, was a 9 times out of 10 failed chemotherapy drug that they're now off-label prescribing because Africans were too smart to offload it on. Hey, I don't know. We'll give it to Canadians. Back to internet censorship. Blacklock's reporter says technical papers released by Heritage Minister Stephen Guilbeault's department on Thursday said cabinet would determine the threshold for what constitutes potentially illegal content. Potentially illegal content, hey? Now, I'm no big city lawyer, but it seems to me that something is either illegal or it's not. And by the way, if you want to get a kind of a picture in your head of what this guy looks like, picture Hans Gruber from Die Hard. That's what he looks like. Well, by the way, he's a convicted eco-terrorist. Not a very nice guy. Social media is being used to spread potentially illegal and abusive content, Guilbeault said in a statement. First ever regulation of the internet in Canada is required, he said, adding we need consistent and transparent rules. The Heritage Department, in a paper and discussion guide, outlined the scope of a censorship bill to be introduced in Parliament this fall. By the way, same government that says Canada has no culture, no heritage, is the same government that turns around and says, we need to protect our heritage and our culture by silencing guys like me. It would prioritize a safe, open, an inclusive internet while Canadians feel they can express themselves without being victimized or targeted by certain kinds of harmful content, wrote the staff. And I'm aware that I said that like comic book guy on The Simpsons. You don't have to point it out. Cabinet would approve a chief censor called the, listen to this, Digital Safety Commissioner to provide advice on content moderation and issue compliance orders on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and other service providers under threat of a $25 million fine. Censored content was not defined, but anonymous complaints could trigger an investigation over websites deemed to distort the free exchange of ideas by discrediting or silencing targeted voices, or threaten national security, the rule of law, and domestic institutions, wrote the staff. Hang on here. They're going to distort the free change of ideas by discrediting or silencing targeted voices by distorting the free exchange of ideas by discrediting or silencing targeted voices. Okay. The safety commissioner would be empowered to block websites or make the content inaccessible in Canada. So what could happen is that Mike Phillip of American Uck Radio could end up broadcasting from here in the United States and Canadians can't hear it. Why wouldn't that be something? Censored content was not defined. Of course it wasn't, because they don't even know. It's whatever they don't like. But anonymous complaints, yeah. Anonymous complaints. Well, that's just great. The government intends to introduce a bill in the fall of 2021, said the guide. This consultation is an important step. Documents stress new censorship regulations would target online content not already prohibited. Parliament since 1970 has banned hate speech under the Criminal Code of Canada, and all provinces have libel laws. Definitions would draw upon existing law, including current offenses and definitions in the Criminal Code, but they would be modified in order to tailor them to a regulatory as opposed to criminal context, wrote staff. That is great. Boy, I tell you, that is great. I mean, you know, what are you worried about? It's not criminal, it's regulatory. What's the difference? Huh? Literally, what's the difference? Difference is that regulatory bodies don't face any kind of discipline. They have no, well, you don't know who they are. You didn't vote for them. You just show up. And they've got a little junior G-man badge. And they say, hi. You don't know me, but I can ruin your life. So you better do what I say. Fact. As Dwight would say on The Office. Yeah, this is happening in Canada. Oh, but Canada's your friend, America, you see. The government recognized there are other online harms that could also be examined. I bet they're not going to remove pornography. Huh? I guarantee you they are not going to remove porn. Even illegal porn. Oh, they can vaccine passport and trace you, but porn? That's different. That's different. There are other online harms, the government says, that could be examined and possibly addressed through future programming activities or legislative action. Gilboa, March 31st podcast, said censors should prohibit hurtful comments about public office holders. Oh, that's great. Can't talk about the government either. Porn, great. Child porn, illegal stuff that actually hurts people, destroys society, and tears everything down. That's just fine. We don't have a problem with that. We've seen too many examples of public officials retreating from public service due to the hateful online content targeted towards themselves or even their families, said Gilbo, as posted over at AmericanUckRadio.com. That's what's happening in Canada. And make no mistake, America, it's coming your way. It's coming your way. They can set up all kinds of system to track and trace you and watch you and monitor you. But stopping crime, actual, real crime, they have no interest in that whatsoever. They really don't. You know why? Birds of a feather. They love criminals. Because it's who they are. It's who they are. They're criminals. And, you know, we all sat back and said, let me have my season tickets to the Buffalo Bills or the Chicago Bears or the Edmonton Oilers. There's somebody taking care of that. And they were working at it behind the scenes while too many people didn't care. This is Mike Phillip filling in for Stu Peters on the Stu Peters Show. Thank you all for listening. I'm looking at the time, and we are running out of it. But I'll tell you what, Stu will be back on Monday, and he will be bringing it. Chuck and fire! Mike Phillip out. Stay tuned for the Rants of Izzo on Mojo 5-0 Radio.
This is the seditious, rabble-rousing, liberty-loving, home of fun, entertaining, and compelling talk.
Fantastic McGriddo here. COVID-19 has brought stress and anxiety to so many, and it's okay to ask for help. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 support or call the warm line at 1-833-317-HOPE.